Hi, welcome to BA Brew. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Lisa.
I'm Debbie.
And I'm Fabrizio.
Today is an exceptionally important, momentous event for the BA Brew because we're recording our 100th episode. And so we've got an extremely special guest. Fabrizio's joined us all the way from Brazil. We're delighted to have you back, Fabrizio. So thank you. I wasn't so delighted this morning when I was asked, would I like to facilitate today? So I haven't done a massive amount of preparation, but thank you, Lisa, for that welcome opportunity. Today, we thought we'd do something different, and we're hoping you find it interesting. We're going to be looking at a SWOT analysis of the business analysis profession. And so we're going to start with the strengths of the profession. And I'm going to jump in by asking Lisa to start us off. SWOT analysis of the profession. You can see we've got a mural board ready. And I'm going to ask Lisa to dive in. And
so the first strength I've got written down is the fact that it's the loveliest community of people, the BA community.
And this is a first for the BA Brew because I'm hosting and attempting to type at the same time. But it's all going to go wrong. There's going to be typos in this particular episode. But great community of people. And I had some homework over the weekend and I was trying to think of the strengths as well, Lisa. And this was one of the top strengths that I thought of. And it is the people that are in the profession. I couldn't agree with you more. Did you have another one that you wanted to share with us?
I've got a couple. So the second one I wrote down that was we've got a really good, valuable discipline. You know, and it's known as a discipline in its own right now, whereas in years gone by, it's been kind of blended into lots of different other disciplines, but now it's established as its own thing. And because of that, we've got our own like qualification pathways, things like that. So I think that they're really big strengths.
Yep. Awesome. Right. Fabrizio, do you want to dive in with any other students?
Sure. Thank you. I would like to add the broadness of our professional. So when we are talking about business analysis today, we are talking about business analysis in a strategic, in a tactical or an operational level. So we have different people doing business analysis in different horizons.
Brilliant.
I like that. I think that that's a strength.
Yeah, and it can flex from those that either strategic to the tactical horizons or something like that. Any others that you'd share, Fabrizio?
I would like us to talk about the structured way we use to do business analysis. So I believe that's a strength. Every time I join a conversation with some people from other areas, they are amazed about how we can structure the conversation and give some sense in what's going on.
Brilliant. And the ability to make sense of complex situations, business situations, and to bring structure in terms of the rigor and the thinking, I think absolutely a key strength. Debbie, last but not least on strengths, and we'll swap the order for the other letters so it won't be so hard next time.
Thank you. I was sitting here thinking, okay, well, my first one was a great community. Oh, good. Lisa's already taken that one. And then I was thinking, right, to the profession. Oh, right, Fabrizio's got that one. Okay. So I am going to say, I think we have an extensive toolkit, which feeds into some of the earlier strengths. But I think it is a really good toolkit that is based on good research. So it's a sort of an extensive toolkit, but it's a really well-grounded toolkit. It's not based on assumption or anything like that. So I think it's a very, very solid toolkit. And I think that's really, really important. The other one that I wrote down is that our strengths are, as a community, I observe, is that we have people who are actually interested in the business and the technical. So they can, you know, they can make that link to really support these strategic tactical views and to make sense of complex business situations because they're interested in both and they bring those things together. And in today's world, that's really, really important.
Wow. And I'm trying to capture all of this, and I know I'm not giving it quite the service that it needs, but the ability to bring these elements together.
Yes, yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think so. I'm sure we're going to come on to things like AI at some point, but I think it's really interesting when you hear people talking about new technologies, particularly people in the media, dare I say it, and you just think they don't really seem to understand the implications that they're talking about of some of these new developments.
Yes. And that kind of, when we're talking about something, there's some grounded thought processes behind it. We've done the research, we've done the analysis.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Just on the community of people, I'm going to throw one in, and it's linked to this. Whenever I get together with other business analysts, that community comes together not for the sake of coming together, but often to share knowledge, to share insight, to share wisdom. We challenge each other, we innovate through these communities. And often you meet these passionate people that just want to make this profession better. And I remember bumping into Fabrizio at the BA Conference Europe last year. We met on the walk, and then we had dinner the next day, lunch the next day. And you asked a question about the profession and how we might encourage more collaboration to the people that are on the dinner table. And the people, everyone just jumped in and started talking and sharing ideas about how we can collaborate. And that's not, I haven't found that in other professional disciplines. And so it's a massive advantage of our profession, I think, a huge strength. Right. I'm going to move across, if we're happy to the weaknesses, but I just want to check, is there anything else we wanted to add on our key strengths of the BA profession before I do move on? Anything you want to add before we move on to weaknesses?
Sorry. Once you're a trained business analyst, you can work on any kind of business anywhere in the world. I think that's a really big strength.
That's a nice one. Flexibility we have, yes. I like
it. Absolutely, and you get that flexibility and that comes into the breath. Debbie, did you have something else you were going to add?
I just wanted to slightly change great community of people, because I think back to what you were saying and what you'd said, Fabrizio, you'd mentioned at dinner, was it's a great community of people who are keen to analyse. So to me, the analysis that underlies what we do is prevalent in a lot of the people within those communities that come together.
Yeah. And they want to analyze, improve towards outcomes, don't they? It's brilliant. It's brilliant.
Right. Could you use the word an outcome-driven mindset?
Oh, yes. Yeah, good one.
And then you find that in a lot of BA professionals, don't you? Right, Debbie, you're going to be pleased to know for the weaknesses, I'm going to come to you first. There isn't a plan for this, because I only found out about facilitating this mural just moments before this podcast recording.
It wasn't moments before.
Let's move on to the weaknesses of the BA profession.
Okay, so I think one of the weaknesses is a sort of a contradiction to what we've said in the strengths, okay? And it's that we have some BAs, or they've got the BA job title, but they're not really interested in building their toolkit and analysing, and sometimes accept a bit too much. And I think that is a weakness, because if even a small part of the community does that, it weakens the whole community. So, as I say, it's that sense of not challenging, just accepting, limiting their role. You know, that sense that there are some organisations that are limiting the BA role, and the BAs are accepting that. And I hope that we overcome that. So that's a weakness to me.
Such a good one.
Brilliant. And that's good to get us going with. So I'm going to go to Fabrizio next on this.
And following this idea, I believe that there's a lot of BAs that are working just as requirements scribers or something like that in a lot of organizations. And so the business analysis, as broad as we told in this trend, is not recognized by every company. Some companies just see it as a very small part of business analysis. And that could be a problem, especially because they are hiring like juniors to do some work of business analysis. And that makes the sense that business analysis is just that scriber role, someone who is taking notes or producing requirements and not the broad that we spoke before. And I see for some businesses, I would put that as a weakness as well, that are working in different areas, there is some kind of identity crisis. They sometimes don't have the job title of business analyst, or if they have this job title, it's not very clear for them how they fit into the organization. So when you think about product owners, product managers, strategic analysts, consultants, they might have some difficulty to see themselves as business analysts when they say that the business analyst is just that guy who's writing requirements.
Yeah, and there's that disconnect, isn't there, between the breadth of the BA services that can be offered, but then the requirement scribe performing that role, but having a very limited view of that and not doing it maybe as effectively as they might. And it undermines the value offer of the BA profession if that's what's happening. Some BAs, and while I'm typing this, Lisa, you can have some thinking time. And Fabrizio, were there any others that you were going to add in as well?
I would just add a new one that say that usually BAs are too humble. And so they don't sell themselves very well as other professionals do, because as they're facilitating the job and trying to make everyone glow and shine, sometimes they don't give the right credit they should for their work.
Yes. So they are the unsung hero of some change initiatives in some organizations as a result of us maybe not having that confidence to sell ourselves. Brilliant. I love it. Lisa, you've had some thinking time. What are you going to add?
In all honesty, I've only got one, and I'm quite shocked to see such a good list there, actually. It's quite a comprehensive list. The one I had down was imposter syndrome. It's quite a prevalent thing in the BA profession. Many BAs who I know are wonderful have suffered from having imposter syndrome. I don't know if that's a bit of a hangover from, years gone by where before the BA profession was a recognised thing. And people, just talking to your point earlier, Fabrizio, about, the way we were full time seen, perhaps as note takers, people just there to sort of gather requirements. It's so much more than that, isn't it, as a discipline? So much more. I think some people still suffer a little bit with the imposter syndrome.
Yeah. Yeah. And we've got a pod on that, haven't we, Lisa? That people can look like they want to. Just a little plug. I'm going to add one in, and it's kind of the opposite of our toolkit, where we've got this extensive grounded toolkit. I think that there's variance in the quality of BA service delivery. So some BAs not using the toolkit in the way that it's expected, intended. Some BAs not having the outcome focus. And I think that variance in the BA profession is a problem for the profession, genuinely, because we've got some excellent BAs out there, but there are some BAs that are not doing excellent work. And that variance undermines the profession, unfortunately, is my view. So I'm going to put variance in BA service quality. And while I'm writing that, are there any other thoughts that we want to add on the weaknesses from anyone else?
Yeah, I believe the diversity that we have is a strength and a weakness at the same time, right?
Yes.
So when you think about diversity and how broad our profession is, there's this huge variance as well.
Yes. I think I've got one as well, which is that there is a tendency, and this is not just in the BA world, to accept received wisdom. And what I mean by that is if somebody says something enough, people accept it as reality. And I mean, Jonathan and Lisa, you know, you may not be quite so aware, Fabrizio, that I have a real issue with this delivering value concept, because I think it hides a lot of possibility for error, and it's not outcome focused. And I completely believe in an outcome focus, but I do think there is a bit of a tendency sometimes that if something is said often enough, people think it's reality, whereas it isn't. And I think in not just in business analysis, but in the business change and technology professions, we all have a bit of a tendency for that to happen in the community sometimes. And I think we need to challenge against that a bit more, but we don't.
Excellent, excellent. I think Peter Thompson would tell me off if I didn't mention this. But I think one of the weaknesses that we've got is that we're not always keen to talk about data. And I might include myself in that bucket. People. But I wonder if that's a weakness. There's a big strength in the process area, I'd say. But in some pockets, there's a weakness in terms of talking about data. And I'm going to add in one other weakness. And I think while we are a fantastic community at collaborating, and often we come together to build and share knowledge, I think we could get better at that, particularly across the international awarding bodies. I think more there's room for improvement in the collaboration space, as much as it is a strength, and there's some great examples of collaboration out there, but I'd like to see more. I'm a little bit greedy, so I'm going to add those in. While I'm adding those in, are we happy to move across to opportunities and or threats? And I think, Fabrizio, is it your turn to go first on opportunities, if I try and keep the similar pattern? So let me move across to opportunities. I'm not going to type and try and talk at the same time because it's all going wrong today, but opportunities for the BA profession, Fabrizio.
There's no way we won't speak about artificial intelligence in opportunities.
Oh, wow,
right?
Yeah. So AI.
Yeah, that's an easy. I'm glad I'm the first one, so I can say let me explore this a little bit. So when we think of artificial intelligence as an opportunity, I see double-sided. We can use artificial intelligence to do our professional. So we can talk about AI for BAs and how BAs can use artificial intelligence. But I believe the greatest opportunity is in the opposite direction, is BAs for AI. So every organization or every business are trying to use AI as an advantage, competitive advantage. So we need BAs more than ever, because we need some people who can understand who are the stakeholders, what are the needs, their needs, and how to use this opportunity to explore artificial intelligence in a way that is safe, that is going to bring value for everyone. So understanding value and understanding risk, so trying to understand this opportunity for the business and leading that change. So I believe we are living a time that's very opportunist for business analysts.
Yeah, that's brilliant. And I'm not sure if I've captured it enough, because you mentioned ethics there that I haven't managed to fit into my sentence. But using business analysis to explore the opportunities of AI and the risks, impacts, and whether or not we should or shouldn't be using AI, I think we're very well placed for that. Brilliant. Fabrizio, were there any other opportunities you wanted to mention just while I'm with you on opportunities?
Right. Let's just add another one. And it connects with the diversity we spoke before, and the variance and the identity crisis I believe we have. We can have business analysis for a broader number of professionals. I believe we are living an opportunity to enter business analysis, not just for professional business analysts, but making business analysis professionals broader. We should have business analysis into managers, into executives, into consultants, salespeople. I see that a lot of other professionals are looking for this skill set, this strong toolkit that Deborah mentioned, as a key differentiator for them as well. So I believe that's an opportunity for business analysts to lead a cultural transformation where business analysis is a skill set for a lot of people. This mindset could be shared between different professionals as well.
Approach used across other professions. I think that's brilliant. Okay, excellent. All right, Lisa, I'm going to go to you next. I probably should be going to Devon, but I've messed up.
No, let's go. Okay, I wrote down that even in the face of adversity, there's still opportunities. So to give you an example on that, I wrote down things like Brexit and COVID. Now, I know I'm thinking about the future, but actually they're good examples of how something, so two quite challenging circumstances ended up being a good thing for some BAs. I mean, some BAs got the chance to work on projects surrounding those things, you know, like Brexit policies, COVID processes, things like that. And actually they were able to add value to those difficult situations. So I thought maybe, I can't think of any other examples, but they seem quite prevalent in the last few years.
Yes, and it's kind of leveraging that impact where we've had that impact as a profession in those challenging circumstances to say, well, we can help with other challenging circumstances if I'm trying to...
Yeah,
okay. Any others that you thought of, Lisa?
I suppose opportunities, the only couple of things I wrote down were things like service design and business architecture. So I suppose potentially new, how would you say that, new disciplines?
Yep, and extending the professional discipline to encompass or include.
Yeah, existing.
Yeah.
Yeah, BA role, yeah.
And there might be other professional disciplines that we could add into that mix, but service design and business architecture are the two that would spring to mind in terms of my thought process. Brilliant. I'm not sure that all business architects and service designers are going to welcome that. We'll see. Debbie, any thoughts in terms of additional opportunities?
Okay, I mean, that's a great list. One that I'm going to throw in there as an opportunity is the need for excellent service experience, and I think that need is becoming more recognized and is growing because we have a lot of developments in technology. We have a lot of challenges facing organizations across the world. But one of the things I'm perceiving, and this is not just UK companies, because obviously online you're working with organizations globally, is that sometimes the level and quality of the customer experience is so poor that I think I look at it and I think, where were the analysts? Anybody else ever had that feeling? Did anybody analyze this? You know, I have that all the time. And I'm one of those geeky analysts that wherever I go, I'm sort of, did anybody think about this process? Oh, come on. I know the rest of you do this as well. But
yes,
it's just astonishing to me how bad these service experiences with some organizations these days. And I think it needs much more analysis. And what I'm hoping is that organizations start to think, you know, we could really do with some analysts to look at how we work with our stakeholders, how our processes work, what data we actually need to work effectively. So I just think that need is out there. What we need is for organizations to really make the link between that and getting these effective analysts in to really help with it.
Brilliant.
And I think that links into the AI, by the way, as well. It links into what you were saying, Fabrizio. You know, it's all very well saying AI as if it's this very generic thing, but it's not. It's, you know, if you understand your business domain, and, of course, where we also have strengths is in problem analysis, there are opportunities out there for problem analysers to actually say, what can we harness in order to really help resolve these problems?
Wow.
Well done, Jonathan, by the way, because I talked a lot there and you've summarised it brilliantly.
With the pressure as well.
It's not going to go wrong in the threats, and I've completely forgotten what order I'm supposed to be going in. So I think I'm going to be kind and come back straight to you, Debbie, if you're okay for me to come straight to you on threats. But you can pass. You can pass to Fabrizio or Lisa on this one if you want. Jump straight into threats to the profession, Debbie.
I must admit, I'm very tempted to pass to Fabrizio because he set us off so brilliantly on the opportunity.
There we go.
I thought, that worked really well. So I think I'm going to do that, Jonathan. I'm going to do a pass to Fabrizio and you can come to me later.
Fabrizio.
Am I allowed to pass to Chinese as well?
Oh,
sorry. I won't do that. I'm just kidding. Well, I have noted some 2 points for threats here that I would like to share. One of those is related to methods or ways of working. So I have seen, and you probably have seen as well, a lot of people claiming the death of Agile because there are so much expectation and maybe there is a wave that is ending. I'm not sure if it's ending, but a lot of people is calling, Agile got overloaded. And maybe that's related very much to the another load of certifications. So the model of certifying people had become a kind of a formula for making money. And a lot of people are not very much satisfied with that these days. And so maybe that's a connection. That's a threat. So of people seeing those ways of working or those disciplines, even business as a wave, as a fad, right? And so that's a thread, to be seen as a fad and to lose, I don't know, momentum.
Yeah, and some organizations mistakenly thinking that Agile means they don't need business analysts any longer. Potentially, and I've seen it in some organizations, which I presume you have as well. So it's that some people having this mistaken view that Agile means you don't need a BA is a huge threat to the profession, and it's impacting BA professionals all across the world at this very moment, I suspect. I'm not sure if I've captured that quite accurately enough, but let me try to the mistaken perception that Agile means no business analysis, when in fact, I think it's the opposite. You need more analysis, you need more rigor, you need more of that sharing, that collaboration, all the things that business analysts can bring.
Must be more outcome-driven than ever.
Yeah, absolutely.
Brilliant. Excellent. Right. Lisa, do you want to jump in on any threats that you've thought of?
Yeah, sure. So obviously there's AI and there's things like cybersecurity as well, because they can be seen as threats.
In terms of if we don't respond to those as a profession, we'll be left behind?
Yes, actually, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I would expect that BAs would get involved in these things, in these AI projects or cybersecurity projects, and be able to add value in those areas as well.
Yeah, brilliant. Okay. Any other threat that anyone wants to jump in with? Debbie, have you thought of any? Was Fabrizio and Lisa have been talking?
Yeah, I mean, my big threat that I see links to maybe senior business people, senior executives, not really understanding what analysis can bring them and jumping to this received wisdom that I talked about. So, you know, a new role comes in, like business architect did a few years ago, and suddenly that's much more important than business analysis. The fact that actually their outcomes, if you like, in terms of their services, they do align, they even overlap in some areas, but they're also significantly different in some areas, seems not to always be perceived. And what you find is you get the sort of land grab territorial aspect going on between roles, which I think is a real threat. But also you get the situation then where some organizations say, we don't need business analysts because actually we've got service designers, business architects, project managers, you know, whatever role you care to, product owners, that's the big one. And actually, it's that lack of understanding the importance of analysis. And I do think that's a threat because, you know, the way that a lot of organizations thought agile, okay, we don't need BAs because they're not really mentioned in the majority of agile approaches, although they are in some. I think that was sort of leapt on a little bit because it seemed that almost a cost saving, whereas actually it really is a cost if you're not analyzing because you're not going to achieve the outcomes you want because you don't know what problem you're trying to solve and what outcome you're aiming for. So I think it's not only a threat to business analysis as a community, I think it's a threat to business too. And, you know, you were saying about the proposed death of Agile and all that, which, you know, I know people are talking about that. But I think in some ways, what that's related to is this way that sometimes organizations leap on something without that understanding of really what you're trying to achieve with it and then blame the method or blame the approach. Do you know what I mean? So that's where I see the threat coming in there.
Yeah, brilliant. And there's a lot of dogmatism around methods and people saying their way is the only way and there isn't a role for a BA or whatever. Those methods and the dogmatic approach, I think, is a real threat in some instances as well. Brilliant. Right. What have we missed in terms of opportunities and threats? Is there anything that we want to add if you're just looking across these lists? Anything we've missed?
I wonder if on opportunities, it's a very general comment, but the world changes and changes constantly and is changing at pace. And all of those changes need analysis. You know, I remember when in the UK we were heading into leaving the EU into Brexit, and I remember having a conversation with another analyst and saying there was going to be such a need for business analysis because actually the changes are going to be so significant. And I think that is the case globally. There is so much global change, but you do need analysts to actually make the best out of the situations.
Yeah, brilliant, brilliant. Fabrizio, anything you'd add to any of the opportunities and threats?
Maybe adding to this need of analysis, especially for some complex changes, I believe we need synthesis as well. And maybe that's a weakness of business analysis is the name, because the name just say analysis, but we're very good in doing synthesis as well, right? So I know Alex, what's his name? He once told, I don't remember his name once, but I saw a presentation from him saying that we should rebaptize it as business synthesists, which I thought very, very clever. But we always can do this open analysis and try to identify small things and do the synthesis as well. So we have both those skills, but there's an opportunity for on those complex changes to bring synthesis as well. That's, I believe, is a strength of ours.
And you just challenged me. That's the first word where I was really struggling to type and try and spell it. It's not an everyday word that I would use, business synthesis. I don't know if I've spelt it right, but I've had a go, Fabrizio, so.
I hope you did. I can't check English, sorry.
Multitasking. I'm not sure where to put this on the swap, but I'd quite like BAs to be involved in more strategic level discussions and to be a bit more innovative. And I'm not sure if that's a weakness of the profession or whether or not we'd class that as an opportunity to get involved in more conversations. But I really would like business analysts to not be known as the note taker, but as someone who can help an organization strategically innovate. And I wonder if this is linked to our issue that we've got around confidence or imposter syndrome. I do think we could be a bit more innovative. So I'm probably going to put that in the weaknesses area. We need to be a little bit more dynamic and innovative and front foot. Brilliant. Okay. So we've created a swap for the profession and used Mural in BA Brew for the very first time. The plan is that we turn this mural into a PDF and we release at the same time as the episode. So look on our LinkedIn socials and you will be able to find this mural that we've just created. We'll turn into a PDF and let everyone have access to it. The other thing that would be really interested to hear from BA Brew listeners is other ideas for strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats that they've spotted from the profession that we haven't discussed today. So it would be great if you share those with us either via social media or to drop us an email. The email address for those ideas is babrew@assistkd.com. And as always, we're always keen to hear about new ideas for future episodes as well. I want to say a massive thank you to everyone that's listened to the BA Brew, everyone who's watched an episode, shared it on social media. We wouldn't be at episode 100 without your support. So thank you to absolutely everyone that supported the BA Brew journey. Massive thanks also to Lisa. And Lisa is, I don't know, quietly in the background, she organises and runs the BA Brew and has done for quite some time. So a huge thank you to Lisa, to the team that sits behind the brew. We have all sorts of people, Tom, the producer, director, extraordinaire. Our social media marketing team and everyone else that gets involved in organising the brew and making it a success. Before we close, SWOT analysis is a great technique. We're looking forward to the profession. What can we do with this SWOT? What ideas are you sat there thinking of? And I'm going to come back around each of you, Lisa, Fabrizio and Debbie. What's the priority? So if we're going to take this profession to the next level, take it forward, what would be the one or two things you'd say, yeah, we should do something about that as a profession? So this is a bit of a tough question. I'm going to put it to Fabrizio to start off with. One thing you would do if you were in charge of the BA profession, Fabrizio, what would be the thing that you'd say we could really do with working on that? How can we take this profession forward to be even better than it is today?
The thing I like the most in SWOT analysis is when you connect those different points and try to create something new or create an initiative from those connections. And from our conversation today, I will take some of those things, like the strength of our community, and I believe that's a very engaged community, could be used to avoid our weaknesses we have in the different levels. The variance in quality that BA services are doing by having a shared practice in events or conferences or trainings. So using the community to diminish that variance, and especially taking that opportunity of AI, making business analysts to advance their practices to help organizations to use AI in a way that they can have better outcomes. So trying to connect some bullets from different areas, I believe that's the nicest thing to do in a SWOT.
Brilliant. I love it. And a great application of SWOT. Lisa, would you do the same? Would there be something else that you'd focus in on? You're in charge of the BA profession. What would you do?
The first thing I'd probably do is a mindset change, because I think if you're thinking about the opportunities and threats in particular, the first thing I'd probably try and do is look down the threats column and try and make them into opportunities. You know, learn more about AI, learn more about cybersecurity. What else is it? Internet of Things, data, you know, whatever it is that you feel like you need to learn more of. Learn more of that and then turn it into an opportunity for yourself and your career. So I think it's more of a mindset shift for me.
Brilliant. And then last but not least, Debbie, you're in charge of the BA profession. What would be the one thing you do?
Assuming I was Empress of Business Analysis, okay, what I would do is I would contact all of the other emperors and empresses of various other disciplines in the business change and technology community and say, we need to go to our executives and tell them that they need to take this seriously and they need to listen to people like business analysts. Because to me, I suppose it's one of the threats we haven't put down, but the recognition threat is huge and it sort of crosses everything, I think, in lots of different ways. And I would love to use that position to really go very senior in all sorts of different areas with all sorts of different industries and domains and say, you need to understand this.
Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. Right. We promise we do this for the listeners at the start. So I hope you've got your cups ready. So I want to do a toast to the BA Brew, episode 100. Thank you to everyone who's been involved. It's been absolutely brilliant today. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, bye. At 100.